A wave of lockdown mandates in March of 2020 halted many aspects of life as we knew it. It was especially true for the restaurant industry, which dove deeper into digital technologies to stay competitive, and in many cases, just to stay alive.
Those that embraced and got in front of the digital side of this, whether it's email, web, mobile, online ordering, etc., really hit the ground running, extending their services to their existing customers.
Perry Quinn is the Senior Vice President of Business Innovation Development for the National Restaurant Association. He says the organization tracked over 110,000 restaurant locations, which temporarily or permanently closed since last year. What's notable is that it's less than 20% of restaurant locations in the U.S. So the question might be, how did 80% of restaurant locations stay in business? They switched to takeout.
Well, we arrived at that because we were all forced to do that initially.
Deborah Mock is the owner and chef of Wild Ginger in Cambria. And here's what's interesting about her story of adopting digital technologies to survive.
Well, I'm not a very technology savvy person, so I don't utilize much of those tools anyway.
So when the lockdown came, how did she transition her small sit-down restaurant to takeout?
Well, we've improved our website tremendously. We have made sure that all the updates and changes do appear on Yelp, TripAdvisor, and Google. And so that when people go in and look, those updates are accurate.
This is one of the key insights of digital adoption. She did it without really knowing it. Putting up a restaurant presence online seems almost effortless.
I'm a very low-tech person, but if people can go to their phones and their devices and see what's available out there and what we are doing, then those are great tools.
An app is only one part of the equation. A small restaurant like Wild Ginger can physically shift to takeout without too much hassle. What about bigger sit-down places?
Well, you know, my sister owns a very large incorporated restaurant, whereas mine is just a little small sole proprietorship, and it's a small restaurant.
Our main concern was, like, what could we do to stay open, you know? So a lot of things were just manual initially. The plan wasn't to look for the software and then figure out how we could use it. It's like, do what we had to do and then figure out what software would work.
Deb's sister is Shani Covey, who co-owns Robin's in Cambria, as well as Luna Red and Mint and Craft in San Luis Obispo. She runs these with her former husband and still business partner, Robin Covey.
So we stayed open, offering takeout and figuring out what menu worked well and who could work it and how to get the word out to everybody, which is why the emails and social media posts. And then while we were doing that, we were able to look into some software that would help us, you know, accomplish what we needed to do better, like the contactless, you know, payments and ordering and things like that. It was just a process, you know, but the main thing was, like, keep the doors open and then figure out how we can do it better.
Aside from being able to quickly establish an online presence, there was another factor in Deb's and Shani's favor. They already had positive feelings about transforming their kitchens to making takeout food. The sisters grew up in Singapore, loving the city's famous street food sold in stalls by food makers known as hawkers.
The street food is the best, and that's where our inspiration comes from. Singapore's a food paradise. They're all just focused on food. And so that's what I've been trying to bring to Cambria. Excellent Southeast Asian street food.
I don't know of any city other than Singapore where you can eat 24/7. And there's people eating all the time. The favorite pastime in Singapore is to eat. It's so amazing. You go there, it's like, oh my God, what am I going to eat? It's like, everything is...
Within days of shelter-in-place orders issued throughout California, Shani's customers began receiving highly tailored email communications about takeout, curbside services, updated menus, and an easy online point-of-sales process.
I try to be forward-thinking in the sense of, you know, like knowing that, hey, it'd be a good idea to utilize a contactless payment option. So let's look into that. And just looking at it from the guest perspective, too, what would they like to have. And that's where we would put our energies to. So in this case, you know, our digital growth has been in the online ordering and the contactless payments. We feel that that's been necessary because of COVID.
I see this as just yet another mode for delivering food to people where they are.
Perry Quinn is not just referring to delivering food to a customer at their home, the way we usually think of delivery. He's referring to a digital ecosystem in which the customer could be using any device, anywhere, picking food up curbside, having it delivered to their home, or wherever they happen to be.
I think that's similar to the convenience side of Target, right? You order on your app, you roll up, you call the number, or you say, I'm here, and they come and deliver the product into the back of your car or hand it to you. I see the convenience on some of these food offerings. I don't think you can put that genie back in the bottle. I think that it's going to be expected. The convenience aspect is not going to slow down there at all.
Large brick and mortar businesses such as Target have had a long-term technology development roadmap. As Perry Quinn says, in 2020, many businesses crammed 10 years of digital adoption into a single year. In a normal development cycle, technologists say it would have taken about 12 to 18 months to unveil a feature like curbside pickup. But many businesses were able to do it in 2 to 3 months. Online ordering is as seamless and simple as it is because of what's happening in the background with technologies like data centers, the cloud, and virtualization, enabling developers to quickly spin up features like curbside pickup.
The mobile app or the online ordering, you know, I put those together. A lot of times it's powered by the same. I think that that was a big turning point for the industry to get behind something. And again, I think there's so much work on the back end to make the user experience and the onboarding from a speed and efficiency perspective much easier than it used to be.
Before the rise of contract data center services, if you wanted a comprehensive online presence for your restaurant, you basically had to get into the weeds of computer science and do it yourself. But cloud services have gotten so flexible and costs so low, developers now handle that platform layer. They rent servers, such as from Amazon AWS, and sell their platform services to restaurants.
We found that since COVID, software engineers have been working around the clock trying to get platforms, you know, made and designed and ready for restaurants, you know, and other businesses to use. So we've grown along with them and given them feedback as to this works, this doesn't work.
We've come to expect to be able to use our smartphone to access anything. That idea is infecting how data centers even operate. Imagine running enterprise applications and platforms with the ease of using a smartphone. There are people working on this, and it's how a restaurant owner even thinks.
Well, I'm always looking at things to be simpler because I feel like technology has added an element of complexity to our operations that wasn't there before, and in the same way has in other ways made it simpler, like the online ordering, for instance, you know. But myself, you know, in our company, we focus on taking care of our guests, however complex it might be. But the goal is to try to keep it as simple as possible.
Some are super savvy, some are less savvy.
In this story of two restaurant owners, one hip to digital and the other not so much, the massive digital adoption because of the lockdown might lead you to think we're on the path of tech companies making food. But Quinn points out one big reason why he doesn't see that happening.
Most of the folks don't come into this to be technologists. They have a passion for food and they have a passion for community.
We don't think of how it's going to present digitally or with the different platforms. My goal has always been, I got to focus on doing the best that we can here every day for our guests, for every single person that comes in the door, because I feel that everything else will flow from that. And that has always been my premise. And you want to grow your business, you know, you got to focus on those things. I mean, of course, there's the operational cost controls and all that, but you won't have the business if you don't focus on customer service, food, and ambiance.
While Shani has flirted with retirement over the last couple of years, her passion for hospitality and food keeps her going. For Deb, the silver lining of the lockdown is that she's decided to make wild ginger takeout only. It allows her to focus on the kitchen and the food, just like the street food hawkers in Singapore. For KCBX News, I'm Jason Lopez.